Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We take you on a tour of strange tales covered by Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. This week, we'll explore the sometimes treacherous travel habits of baby cows in the Pittsburgh area and of salamanders in the Detroit area. In human transportation news, we'll hear a lawmaker in Minnesota explain why she took a bike to the hospital to have her baby. Oh, and also back home. Then to send us out, George Papp of Outhouse Americana in Colchester, Connecticut, is going to explain why he's dedicated to preserving the history of a pretty vintage way to use the loo. He says that outhouses reveal more about culture than we might realize. Let's start in Minneapolis. That's where Jason DeRussia of Drive Time with DeRussia on Odyssey station WCCO News Talk interviewed State Rep Katie Jones about her e-bike trips to and from the hospital to deliver her baby.
Come on now, Katie. You gave birth and then got on an e-bike?
We did. I stepped in the cargo bucket of the e-bike, so I was not riding itself.
But you fit in that cargo bucket, huh?
Yeah. It was a tight fit, I will admit. But yeah, I fit in there. We fit the car seat that attaches to the bucket, and it worked out pretty well.
You and your husband don't. Do you have a car?
We have not had a car since 2018. We had one of those VWs that was recalled, and so we gave it back up, and we're like, let's see how long we can last without a car. And it's been 7 years now, or 8 years.
Wow. Very cool. State Representative Katie Jones with us talking about the baby's delivery. And how far is the hospital? What are we talking about here? Were you comfortable? I have so many questions. Comfortable? Was it not comfortable in the cargo bay after you just gave birth?
So I got to stay a little bit longer at the hospital, so 3 days, and so I felt pretty comfortable. It had a padded seat in the cargo bucket, and we put down another blanket below me. So I felt, it was in luxury in terms of cargo bike land.
Now, I assume you did talk to your doctor about this, right? Because you had to have somebody in your life that could have picked you up, or you could have taken an Uber or something like that, right?
Yes. So we talked to our OB a couple months ago about it, and she was at first shocked because this was not a normal thing to bring up. But we talked about what an e-cargo bike is, that it's got a big bucket in the front that can haul multiple people, and that it's got a seat, and then we can put a car seat in it. And, once we explained it to her, she's like, that's awesome. And the nurses at the hospital were equally, like, a little confused, and a couple of them came downstairs to see the bike. Peter was happy to show it off to them. We were honestly impressed and that we didn't have any resistance from any of our medical team.
You made it home. No big deal. It's all fine. And were you taking the Greenway? What is your route here? So I ride my bike in the city as well. And we have some protected bike lanes, some where it's a little more hairy. I like the Greenway. Mm-hmm. What was your route?
Great question. So I live in Uptown, and we honestly were blessed with multiple options. And my husband and I, we did some trial runs. We tried 24th, we tried 26th and 28th. And then the Greenway is a little bit further away from us, and so that would have made our trip longer.
Yeah.
It also includes some inclines, right? And with it's an e-bike, so it does have a motor in it, but when it's loaded down, it can still be take some effort on my husband's part to get it up the hill.
Right.
So that's why we ultimately decided 26th and 28th. They are protected bike lanes. And I'm just honestly really grateful that the city of Minneapolis over the last decade or more has been, you know, investing in protected bike infrastructure, because that's what ultimately made me feel safe in taking this ride.
So obviously, some people love this, right? And I find it, I think it's great. Like, on Blue Sky, on Twitter, some very, very positive response. But then, of course, like, also the obvious pushback where people are saying, look, like, I understand virtue signaling, but this is like next level virtue signaling that you're taking the bike. How do you respond to that?
You know, we are very diverse people and we need diverse transportation options to fit our own needs. And like I said, like, we don't own a car. We had access to cars. Several friends and family were very willing to loan us their car if we needed it. But at the end of the day, like I said, we have the infrastructure. We had access to the bike. And so why not? It's honestly, it was fun. It was something to look forward to. You know, going into delivery is, you know, I know there's going to be pain. That part's not going to be fun. And so it's just not right. Another thing that we could look forward to for this whole thing.
Yeah.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
While a trek from the hospital on an e-bike with a brand new baby might seem like dangerous business, it's baby cows or calves who gave their owners a real scare with their own jaunt about town this week. These particular cows, now named Houdini and Whodunit, escaped from Eichner Farm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's North Hills. Ron Eichner joined the Big K Morning Show out of Odyssey Station KDKA to discuss the breakout.
Year-old calves are on the run in the North Hills. And Paul Alexander talked to my friend Ron Eichner, who joins us for an update.
Yeah, poor Ron trying to corral these two rogue calves, and apparently they're kind of hard to corner.
But yet you would find where you are in the North Hills, near North Allegheny High School, near Route 19, you would think, Ron, they'd be easy to find. Have you had any hints yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a phone call this morning. But just to give you, Larry, and Paul a little update, Monday night about 11 o'clock, the state police at 279 shut down for about 45 minutes because they're out on the interstate. But got them off the road. But they're off of Art Road and down in the highest lower part of Franklin Park in the Hyatt Township. And last night we had a drone with a heat sensor, and that was working good. And I told the group, I said, you got to kind of corral and try to funnel them into an area and get them in the trailer. Well, that foiled. The police were hollering a little bit too much, but no, we got a good plan. We just need a little help, and you guys have done a great job with, you know, getting the word out there.
So
I know Larry always... Go ahead.
What did I do, Ron?
Well, nothing yet. You know, you're always great, like at Christmas time, you know, calling a farm to say, where's the beef?
Well, in this case, yeah, really, where are they? So you think you can get a hold of them?
Yeah, well, they're in somebody's backyard, and basically my nephew Stu's going to have somebody come back out with a drone. I'm trying to reach out to get some volunteers. Like I emailed you, Larry, I always say we're here to support the community. All we need is community support, and it's helping. But eyes out there, just contact a farm, and you guys, between radio and TV, have done a great job, and we can't thank you enough.
Well, I want to know, Ron, how the heck they got out in the first place. What happened?
Well, what had happened, I bought these seven Dexter calves last summer, and they were on a farm up out of Evans City, and my nephew Stu picked them up on Sunday. And I said, how about putting them in the back pasture? And he didn't pay attention to me, or, you know, he put them down the barn, and basically, one got out Monday morning, got it back in, and then two got out. And I said, you know, well, this is kind of stupid. And next thing we know, there's three out. And my nephew, they got across Richard Road, across from the farm. And instead of him trying to get around them, he kind of pushed them down to Pine Creek Road. And then from there, they just went up towards Brandt School. And then, you know, that's from late Monday morning. So, you know, they're on the great grand tour of Franklin Park and Ohio Township. But we're hoping to get him back in.
You're not going to fire Stu, are you? Poor Stu.
No. But, if Paul's sneaking by 19, tell him to stop in as far as, this way he can understand where's the beef. But, well, you guys do a fantastic job.
Well, thanks. This is a family farm. And when was it? This is generational. I want people to know. You're still
1897, my great-grandfather bought this little nested piece of property in a valley. And, it's just been four generations of sacrifice and effort. I'm the fourth generation, and we have fifth and sixth in the pipeline. So all I have to do is instill sacrifice and effort into them, and they got a farm. So we're blessed as far as it's a lot of hard work. But like I said,
Well, you got my email. Let us know when you are able. Do you name these little cattle or no?
Yeah. They have names for them. What they are, I don't know. Right now, they're two little black devils with horns. But no, they're very docile, and people are a little sketchy, which I understand. But hopefully, we got a happy ending here ASAP. But I'll definitely keep you guys posted. Like I said, not to be redundant, but keep up the good work. I know you don't need your self-confidence supported.
Thankfully, all that hard work paid off. CBS News reported that the calves were eventually found safe, but not before causing a traffic mess. They obviously didn't plan their route as well as Jones and her husband back in Minneapolis. Now, listeners, before we go to the break, I've got a question for you. Why did the salamander cross the road? Stay tuned to learn the answer. Oh, and also some stuff about outhouses. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Why did the salamander cross the road? Or should I ask, why do hundreds of blue-spotted salamanders make the dangerous journey across the road every spring near a park in Marquette, Michigan? Crossing the road might seem safe enough, but here's why I called the salamander's trip dangerous.
Like 2019, there was a survey, and when the road was open to vehicle traffic, there were over 400 salamanders that were recorded dead. And once that road was closed, that number went drastically down.
Still, these blue-spotted salamanders, native to Michigan, have important work to do at that park. Northern Michigan University biology professor Jill Leonard explained why in a recent interview with Odyssey station WWJ News Radio's Beth Fisher. Leonard also discussed efforts to help these little amphibians get there safely.
So what is going on with the salamanders? I know they have a migration each year, and when does that typically happen?
So the salamanders, they'll start moving. It's really dependent on the weather. But right when the snow kind of starts to melt and there's a little bit of colder rain at night. So we'll see. It's anywhere between March, April, May. So here at Presque Isle Park in Marquette, Michigan, some of the blue-spotted salamanders, they'll move from the wooded area in the park, and they cross a small section of road within the park over to the vernal pools in the spring. And so the city of Marquette and the SWP and a few other community partners, we close that small section of the road at the nighttime. But with increased media attention, there's been more and more foot traffic. So this year and the next few years, we'll be working. We received a grant from the DNR Wildlife Habitat Protection Program to install amphibian tunnels. And so the salamanders and other amphibians can use these tunnels to cross the road safely.
And, I find it fascinating. Where are these tunnels going to go, and what makes you think the salamanders will use them?
So there are actually a lot of examples of this being really successful, especially in the East Coast, but a lot of places throughout the U.S. and even internationally. So they're another form of a wildlife crossing. So but this form will be an amphibian tunnel. And so it's kind of just, we're still in the planning process for what that will look like here and how, what the best model would be. They have been used historically successfully in the past.
So do you envision having, signs for the salamanders, go this way or what?
It's kind of just an inherent part of their nature. And so, you know, the blue-spotted salamanders are actually known as mole salamanders. But, yeah, so they'll, you know, sometimes that's just like a slit in the road with a grate on top. But it'll be damp and dark just like they like at night to cross. And, yeah, just the engineering process kind of helps that along.
So once these tunnels are put in, do you anticipate that you'll be able to leave the road open then during the migration period?
You know, we're not sure about that. We're still, you know, we'll see how successful the crossings are and go from there.
And when do you anticipate, you know, these tunnels going in?
So we just received the grant funding, and so we're in the planning phase, and we're hoping, you know, to continue along this summer, spring, fall, and probably another year.
And so what's so special about the blue-spotted salamander?
I think that they're pretty cute. But, no, I think amphibians and especially the salamanders, you know, they're an indicator species, so... They're pretty special, and there are populations of them around, not just here at Presque Isle Park too, but here in Marquette we do have a liking toward them, and you know the community just wants to see them protected.
And why do they migrate?
Yeah, so they're crossing the road to go over to the vernal pools in the spring to lay their eggs.
Our final weird story this week is brought to us by Own the Road with Kelly and Bob from Odyssey Station KRLD in Dallas. On the show, the veteran journalists travel around the country looking for interesting destinations, and they certainly found one at Outhouse Americana in Connecticut. There, they spoke with George Papp, the nation's outhouse expert. He's preserving these historical structures to offer a glimpse into America's past and to memorialize the days when going to the washroom required a trip outside.
As you know, I give a lot of talks and lectures on outhouses. I've known throughout North America. I've been in publications and such. Me, outhouses have been my life for a good 26 years or so. And I don't claim to be an expert. I don't claim to know everything about it, but I also understand how they thought back then. I know a little bit about it. I don't like people calling me an expert.
I would imagine in the world of outhouse experts, there aren't too many.
I don't think there are any people that have gone into it as thoroughly as I have, or have thought out every little thing. Because I actually build them, I think about everything I do, and I say, why the hell am I doing this? And then I think about how other outhouses were built, you know, that I've taken apart. And then I think, well, those guys knew a little bit more about outhouses maybe than I did, because you did have professional outhouse builders then. And I try to think why they did it, or if they were just slapping it together.
Like it or not, lots of people seem to think of George Papp Sr. as the expert on outhouses. He built them according to the period of the time you desire, making them as authentic and safe as possible.
And why safe? Well, one thing that led us to George was the fact that we heard that the product deposited in outhouses was used to make gunpowder during the Revolutionary War. Now, sure enough, George confirmed that the stuff is indeed explosive. And served in that capacity during our fight for freedom.
But the thing we appreciate most about George is his great attention to detail and his sweet personality. When it comes to number one and number two, well, George is a 10.
Which do you enjoy the most?
building the outhouse or all of the research and work you go to find out the history and culture behind them?
I'm always open to history and research. No, that, you know, that's not the main thing. Building them and putting myself into the outhouse, you know, it's a piece of art in many ways.
Yes,
people say it is. And using the craft, yeah, I like that. And I do hope that in the future, you know, when I'm gone, people will retain, you know, the knowledge that I've gained and put together of something so simple, so basic in our lives that you don't really care about it as a rule, but still, it has a history, it has a craft behind it, and just the whole social structure about the outhouse. Now, this is old number two. This is the second one I ever built. And I,
old number two for number two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And this particular one, I started framing it out on spec, and then I started getting all sorts of orders after I started this, you know, and I got that far. But it gives you some idea, you know, how I put them together. You know, I pretty much rabbit and things. You can see how things fit like a puzzle.
It's like it's almost like timber framing, you know, the way that it fits together like this and the little notches and stuff instead of...
Look at this notch.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How it just fits in.
You can listen to the full interview with Pap by finding Own the Road with Kelly and Bob on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Drive Time with DeRussia out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, The Big K Morning Show out of KDKA in Pittsburgh, WWJ News Radio out of Detroit, and Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD in Dallas. You can find all of these shows and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.